Welcome to Seeds Church Podcast. Well, it's December, which means Christmas is right around the corner. And today we are in our series, Jesus, Light of the World. So wherever you're listening, we hope you're encouraged by this week's message.
I love gifts. I love receiving gifts. I love giving gifts as well. And I want to take us back to 2002, or about then, around then. I was 6 years old. It was Christmas Day, and I was at our grandparents' house for Christmas. We just had lunch, and so our stomachs were full of food, and my stomach was full of food and soft drink and lollies and stuff like that. And we came to that time of the day where we got our presents. And really, really exciting. So I'm sitting there. We go into the room, and our family does this thing where we kind of nominate one person to be Santa. I don't know if, does anyone else do that? And then they give out the gifts. Yeah, a couple of people. So the person was nominated to be Santa, and I'm sort of sitting there just like rocking back and forth. I just can't wait for my gifts. And so Santa reads out my cousin's name, and they get their present and open it up, and it's like a Lego set. And it's so sick. It's so cool. It's like Bionicle or something like that from 2002. And then like my auntie gets a gift and it's a bunch of mugs and I don't care at all. And pretty much it takes a while. And finally, those beautiful words to Bailey from Gran and Pa. And I, at this moment, everything goes in slow motion for me. So the gift gets pulled out from under the tree and I see the shape of the gift and a million things start going through my head. What could it possibly be that is this shape, this size? And then it all started to go wrong. The gift is put in my hands and it's soft. And so I say to everyone, it's soft. Why is it soft? And then I start to unwrap, and to my horror, I unveil what is underneath. It's a towel. It's a beach towel. And so I scream at my grandparents, I do not want a towel, and throw it and run down the hallway, slam the door behind me, and it has now become a joke in our family for the last 17 years that I do not want a towel. Eventually, I apologized, and it's funny how it all comes back around because recently getting engaged, this Christmas, I'm getting pots and pans and towels, and it's just all come back to haunt me. I love Christmas. I love being able to do this. This looks amazing. Thank you so much to Pete, Joe, Jamie, Sabrina and Emily. Sorry, Sabrina, forgot your name. It looks awesome. So, tonight, I want to share with you around Christmas Spectacular. Without being a sort of cheeky plug for the other events, we are talking about Christmas Spectacular, and as a creative team, we're starting to prepare for our production for the Christmas Spectacular, and it's going to be a lot of fun. There's going to be a lot of music, and it's going to be sweet. Did anyone come last year? Okay, a few of you. More of you should come this year. It's going to be really, really great. And so this is a chance for us as a church and as a team to create a space for the story of Jesus to be creatively portrayed and made accessible for all. So we'll tell the story of Jesus through stories and song and maybe, if you're lucky, a little bit of dance. But the more I prepare for the Christmas Spectacular and for Christmas in general, I start to see different sides and perspectives of the Christmas story. When it comes to reading the Bible, a lot of it can sort of kind of seem the same when we read it over and over again. Like the Christmas story, you might know that it's this guy, Jesus, that was born into the world from the Virgin Mary, and he grew up and turned into this amazing human. Or you might think it was this incredible moment where the whole world stopped and lost their minds over this small little guy. But when I'm reading through the stories and through the Bible, I never want to go into a story with the same perspective as what I had before. See, I know that everything in the Bible is true, but if we have the same perspective on it every time, then we're actually limiting what God can do through that story. Right? Does that make sense? So I want to go into the Christmas story. I want to go into the Easter story with a different perspective and a different take on it to what I previously had. So you can see when it came to the story of Jesus, it was incredibly normal. There was nothing really spectacular about the nature of his birth, but it was how it came about that was spectacular. See, we see in the story that just like everyone else at the time, Mary and Joseph, the parents of Jesus, they had to return to their own town to register. And at this time, the Romans were very, very powerful, and they had a control over most of the world. And so Caesar Augustus, the Caesar at the time, called for a census of the entire Roman world so that they could pretty much just keep tabs on everyone. So Joseph had to return to the town of his ancestors, which was Bethlehem. You see, a couple of chapters before this in the Bible, we go all the way back to the Old Testament to a book called Micah. And Micah was written 1,000 years before the time of Jesus and before this moment of the census. And in Micah, it prophesies that out of Bethlehem will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. Now, I don't know about you, but that kind of blows my mind a little bit, that someone like 1,000 years ago prophesied that something was going to happen. It's kind of like Back to the Future vibe, or like the prophecy Harry Potter kind of thing. It's like full OG origin story prophecy thing. And so we see a lot of this chosen one come through in pop culture and all that kind of thing. But this was legit. This isn't a fantasy story. This was prophesied before that. They prophesied that Mary and Joseph would travel to Bethlehem for no other reason than a census by the Romans, and that out of Bethlehem, a small town, would come a king. The fact that this prophet did this is amazing. The other thing that blows my mind is that whether he knew it or not, whether he liked it or not, Caesar Augustus actually played a crucial part in helping fulfill this prophecy. See, if God can use the leader of the Roman world, which in the Bible they're sort of seen as the bad guys, then there is no doubt that God can use you to do something amazing. Maybe you've felt like you're underqualified to do something, or you have nothing to offer, but the Bible shows us time and time again that God uses regular, ordinary humans to do massive, extraordinary things. I know for me personally in my life, I've seen God work through me when I did not think in the slightest that I was qualified. I've been working at Seeds here for the past 4 years, and pretty much when I started working here, it was like late November, and Mashy, bless his heart, he was like, here you go, have Christmas, good luck. And I had to organize Christmas, and he helped me, of course, which is great. And I pretty much had no clue what I was doing. I knew how to play music, and that was about it. I hadn't done rostering before. I hadn't done speaking up front before. I hadn't like managed a team before. All this kind of stuff I had to figure out how to do. And so we went through that Christmas, and we pretty much just got by. And now fast forward 4 years later, we're about to launch into the biggest Christmas we've ever had. And that's not a weird flex from me, but that's me recognizing that God has actually done work through me when I know for a fact that I am not qualified for it. And I'm, to be honest, I'm still figuring out how to do it. But we all are, so that's okay. And I think that God has steered me into a path that is definitely not easy, but it's able to make an impact in people's lives. So if God can use me, a beat up, broken vessel, if God can use Caesar Augustus, ruler of the Roman world, there is no doubt in my mind he can use you. We're going to pick up the story in Luke chapter 2. So if you have your Bibles, you can open it up. It'll also be on the screen. We read here. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David, and therefore fulfilling the prophecy that was spoken 1,000 years ago. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. Whilst they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Turn to the person next to you and tell them there's no room in the inn because I need a drink. Also, the aircon is on full, by the way, but it's just really hot, especially in pants. Anyway, so there's no room in the inn. In this short little segment of what we just read there, that pretty much tells us the entire Christmas story. It doesn't really elaborate. And so what the Bible doesn't talk about is what the journey would have been like for Mary and Joseph. It simply says that Joseph just went up from the town of Nazareth to Bethlehem, as if you just went up to Blackwood or you just went up to Chicken Hub. I don't know why that was the first thing I thought of. Schnitzel Tuesday. Can't stop thinking about it. Shred for the wed. Okay, keep going. I'm so hot. Okay, so nowhere in the Gospels does it actually even mention that Mary was on a donkey, which made sense because that would have been a real pain in the ass. That was good. I'm glad Jonathan's not here tonight. Anyway, where it says Joseph went up to Bethlehem, it's sort of meaning it in a literal sense, meaning the Judean mountains, the range that surrounded Bethlehem and Jerusalem. See, Galilee was north of Jerusalem and Bethlehem is to the south. And for them, the shortest route would have been about 110 Ks straight through Samaria. And at the time, there was a lot of beef between the Jews and the Samaritans, so they would have just scoot right around that and gone a longer way. So at an average pace, this would have meant that it would have been about a four-day journey with about 8 hours in each day. Mary was in her late teens, and she would have been strong and healthy, as would Joseph, but Mary was on the verge of having a baby. She was literally like a week away from giving birth. They're hiking up mountains, they're struggling through the days, and I'm sure as well they would have been anxious about having a baby and giving birth, and it would not have been easy for them. And then the moment comes, they finally reach Bethlehem, and there's nowhere for them to stay. Absolutely nowhere. Everything is full. So they get put in with the manger out the back. See, this mention of a manger, it doesn't actually mention anything about a stable, but we can assume that because there was a manger, that it was in a stable. This is a cave. This isn't like a nice wooden Christmas card looking place with nice hay. And this is a cave with a manger carved out of the wall. All right. So through all of this, we can pick up on a strong theme through the whole story. Sometimes I think we can think to ourselves, if I'm being obedient, why aren't things going better? For some of us, we can face discomfort or inconvenience and immediately think that we have either misread God's will for our lives or that God has made a mistake. But watch as this couple, as they head towards Bethlehem, God did not soften Joseph's bumpy road, but he strengthened him. God did not provide a luxurious inn for Joseph and Mary, but brought his son into the world in humble surroundings. When we do God's will for our lives, we are not guaranteed comfort and convenience, but we are promised that everything, even in discomfort and inconvenience, has meaning in God's plan. We believe that he will guide you and provide all that you need, just like he did with Mary and Joseph. They live each day by faith, trusting that God is in charge. So when we see this story, our very first introduction and picture of Jesus is him lying in a manger. But this is where we can't leave our picture of Jesus. This seemingly normal baby in a manger is the subject of this beautiful, humbling Christmas scene. Although the birth might have been incredibly normal and not much of a spectacle, this tiny, helpless baby lived an amazing life. Jesus grew up and he spent the last years of his life healing others and ministering to others. But most importantly, this man died for us. He died so we can live a life free from evil. So when Jesus was born in a manger, it really threw off the Jews at the time. See, the Jews at the time and the religious leaders, they were expecting this grand entrance of their king that was prophesied, that this king would sit on a throne and rule over many, but God isn't what you expect sometimes. And see, the Jews had limited their expectation of what God was going to do, and they didn't see for themselves that Jesus was walking among them until he rose from the dead. And so sometimes I think we can totally put God in a box. We can think that God is going to do this for me and it's only going to work out that way because that's what I think. But for the Jews, that's what they thought, and they completely missed out on what Jesus was about. Jesus was about being a human. Jesus was about loving us and being a part of us. The Christmas story shows us that God can actually do the spectacular with the ordinary. That God can use people like Mary and Joseph and even Caesar Augustus to forever change history. I want to encourage you tonight as we continue into Christmas and into the new year that when we are reflecting on the Christmas story, try not to see it with the same eyes as what you've seen it before. See other sides of the story. Find a new interpretation of what the story looks like. I encourage you to do the same as well with other parts of the Bible. Like, what if Noah's Ark was a spaceship and we're on Earth 2 right now? Just think about that for a minute. God was incredibly faithful and came through so strongly for Mary and Joseph, who simply just said yes and trusted God. What will you allow God to do in your life? What will you do that you didn't even know you had the ability to do? God loves you. And He has an incredible plan for you. And don't limit God to what your expectations are of Him. But expect the unexpected. Expect the spectacular, and it might just change your life. Let me pray. Lord Jesus, we thank You that we can come to this time of year and reflect on what You did for us. How You sent Your one and only Son, God, down to earth to live a normal human life and then change the course of history, God. Lord, we pray as we come into this Christmas season, God, that we would expect the unexpected. That we would expect You to move in our lives and do something different with us. Lord, keep us safe as we go into this busy time. Let us remember that You are the center of all of this. We love You, Lord.